Could we turn, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Proverbs, chapter 25, beginning at verse 11. What our brother has been bringing before us, and I believe we have something here to speak to us in this book of Proverbs, which is God's wisdom for us while we're here. Notice this verse. Verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Have you ever considered that verse? I've thought of it many, many times. I can't say that I can give you the interpretation of the verse, but we can apply it. What do we have in this verse? We have two principal things, in fact, four things. One is, you have a picture. What is a picture? Someone takes your picture, they put it on the wall or put it in a book somewhere. It's on display, isn't it? But then also you have an apple. What is an apple? That's fruit. But what kind of fruit is it? It's a beautiful picture here when you think about the picture of silver brings before us the thought of redemption, doesn't it? Silver is redemption. And every child of God who is saved is redeemed. You have redemption. You have a picture to display. Well, what does the picture display? Now we'll see. I want to look at some examples of that picture too. Because when you get to the apples of gold, an apple is also fruit. But what about an apple of gold? I believe that brings before us divine fruit. Fruit that comes from God. Fruit that will bear its due reward in another day. And no doubt, in many ways, it will help us in the present day in which we live. As our brother has already been saying, not accusing, but an advocate. And so here we find, it says, a word fitly spoken. Dear Mr. Gill used to tell us this. He said, before you say anything, ask yourself these questions. Is it true? Is it right? Is it encouraging? Is it needful? And if we did that, I believe our words would be more fitly spoken. But I just think of this, of these verses, apples of gold, pictures of silver. Let's not forget this verse. I want to impress it on your mind. Because God wants to see fruit produced that will bring glory to His name and will be an encouragement to those around us. We will not be not accusers. We won't be accusers of those that fall into failure. We will seek to be an advocate. We will seek to help them and encourage them. A word fitly spoken. And you know, if you're going to have a word fitly spoken, you've got to consider what you're saying. But I just want to notice this again. We want to go over to, let me see, first I would like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't want to take a lot of time here, but I just want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, to get a little connection here with what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. He's been speaking of the Spirit of the Lord, and we've been speaking of it today. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Not liberty to say what you like, not liberty to do what you like, not liberty to respond when someone crosses your path, but liberty to serve God. And so here it's beautiful. It says, how do we accomplish this? How is this to be accomplished? Is it in any ability within myself? No, it isn't. Not really. Notice what it says in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed. Beloved saint of God, if you haven't been changed since you're saved, there's problems. There's something happens. You haven't been turned around. You're not able to give a word fitly spoken. You may offend. Well, we look to that. It says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Changed how? Notice this same book, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now Paul says, now I, Paul, beseech you that by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present among you, meekness and gentleness of Christ, wouldn't that be words fitly spoken? If we followed the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never be the same as Him, as the Lord, but we can follow in His steps. And so it says here, it's the meekness of Christ and the gentleness of Christ. Isn't that beautiful when you think about that? Blessed Savior is so meek and gentle, kind and gracious. He never spoke unkind words except to those who came to Him with their own views and their own thoughts, and they went away disappointed. But if they came to Him in faith and need, they always went away with a blessing, because He was meek. There was the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Then dropping over to the 11th chapter, just dropping down to that chapter, we find something else, that He was lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve, though it's through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We don't have to make speeches. All we need to do is ask God to give us the proper word, a word fitly spoken that might be a help, that might be an encouragement. Well, we need those three things. We need that. We need encouragement. We need building up. Sometimes we need admonition also. But I just noted those verses. And then also, going back to our chapter the Proverbs, we find again, I just want to go over to another verse and show you what really is what a word fitly spoken would be like. Well, let's go to the book of James. James chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we have some words here that these words are not very well spoken. James chapter 3, and beginning at verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, it says, glory not and lie not against the truth. Would these be apples of gold? I don't think so. They might fall by the wayside. It wouldn't be that which would bring glory to God, nor a help to you, nor to others. So he says, he just goes on with this just a little bit here. He says, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Is it a child of God able to do this? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And in our recent problems, we've had lots of it. But does this bring honor to God? No, it's all it does is divide the saints of God and causes sorrow and tears and division in families and assemblies and so on. But notice what he says here. This wisdom descends not from above, but from his earthly sensual devilish. And a lot could be said about this, but I don't want to take a lot of time here. I just want to bring these thoughts out. But notice what he says in verse 16. For where envying... This is one of the 3:16s, isn't it? Interesting. John 3:16 is a glorious verse. This verse isn't too good, is it? Where there's envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. Is that good fruit? Is that apples of silver? Or is apples of gold, I should say? No, it isn't. Was that a picture of silver? A picture of you and me as those that are redeemed, that were able to speak kind words, meek words, helpful words to those that we come in contact with? No, it isn't. But notice what it says. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Pure. Remember, pure words. That's an apple of gold. A pure word is an apple of gold. Then, he says, peaceable. Another apple of gold, isn't it? It's pure, peaceable. Don't you feel it at home and comfort with those who you're with, you may be with, that are peaceable, and you're comfortable with them? And also we see it says gentle, another apple, a golden apple indeed, if we might say so. We're applying this is not probably not the interpretation of this verse, but I apply it as that which should exercise our hearts to see that God is looking down to see some results from that picture we have as being in pictures of silver. That God is, this is displayed on our walls and perhaps in other places. So it says, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. What a glorious, precious apples of gold this is when presented in this way. As apples of gold, and surely it, God wants it to be in that picture of silver. So it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You're never going to be able to sow peace or righteousness if you don't, or to gain peace and righteousness if you don't sow it yourself. Oh, these are precious things, and they exercise my own soul as to how I'm responding to God. Those words that are needed to be fitly spoken to honor him, bring glory to God, bring glory to the Lord Jesus, and be helpful to those around us. Well, that's only one. Let's see. We could turn over to perhaps the Galatians. As I say, we I'll have to find it here. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. My eyesight isn't the best, and so I'm working with that. But anyway, Galatians chapter 5. We find here a little picture of the fruit of the Spirit. We see in it the fruits of the natural man. Those are not apples of gold. They could be torturous. They could be miserable. They could be words that would defeat us. But God wants us to see the victory. And so here in this precious Galatians chapter 5, and verse beginning at verse 22, we've been speaking about the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I see in this apples of gold. Why? Because it rises up to the glory of God. Gold is divine righteousness. This is what God is looking for us to produce while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. And what a privilege it is to to be able to bear that kind of fruit, gentleness, quietness, meekness, love, compassion, joy. Otherwise, we're not enjoying the Lord. As our brother brought before us, the enemy is busy to seek to turn us aside and to bring in many things that would discourage and dishearten us. But God is looking at us as a picture of silver, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And He wants to see in us apples of gold that will produce glory to His name and a blessing and a help to each one around. Well, there's many more thoughts could be brought out, but I just submit those thoughts in connection with what our brother has already said and submit them to you to remember that verse, apples of gold in pictures of silver.